Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 13th, 2015. And with me today, I have two men that are so brilliant, they make me look slow. And that's saying something. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
Faster than I realized.
Well, there you go. And see, it's no, how's that go? Knowing is half the battle.
That's what they tell me.
That's what I've heard too. John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, good morning. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. It's great to have both of you here, and on this beautiful Friday the 13th. Yeah, if your name is Jason, I'm sorry because I know the jokes that you'll be facing today.
And can you hear me through my hockey mask, Jeff?
I can, but that's because you're a professional and you know how to get right up on the mic.
That's right.
Yeah. And if we were doing a video cast, you'd see me stroking the black cat in my lap.
As one does. For luck, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. You sound like a villain out of a James Bond movie over
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Stavro Blofeld.
Yeah, I like it.
That is awesome. Hey, we have a sponsor today, Harry's, the incredibly awesome razor company. We'll be talking about them soon, which I'm pretty stoked about. But before we get to them, I thought that we could take a look at a piece that you wrote yesterday, Dave, where you started talking about Apple Watch and the perceptions that people seem to have.
Yeah, well, you know, we Apple fans, and especially us long-term Apple fans, have regularly and sometimes deservedly seen fire from folks that are not dyed-in-the-wool Apple fans for whatever reason, yet to be converts, we will call them, right? Pending Apple fans. And what's interesting to me is we get called out for being Apple fanboys, right? Or fangirls. Because we tend to just buy whatever it is that Apple tells us we should buy. And for the most part, we love it when we get it, and we continue to love it for decades, right? And, you know, it's true, right? But it's not unfounded. I buy Apple products because I like them. I like the way they make me feel. At times, it's and even now, right? There's a self-identity that goes along with it, right? I mean, I've been using Apple products since an Apple IIc. Well, even actually before that, the IIc was the first one we owned, but I had one. You know, I used Apple products before that. That's why we wound up going down that path. And so, you know, the Apple naysayers and Apple haters of the world, and I don't like to use the word Apple haters because there are some, but I'm certainly not only talking about the folks that just hate Apple. I'm talking about the folks that don't have an emotional connection to Apple, and so they do. They rightfully call us out by saying, "Oh, you know, you just buy this stuff because you like it, and it doesn't matter if it's crap," and that's not entirely true, but I see why it seems that way, because for the most part, Apple doesn't release crap. And frankly, when they do, I think we call them out on it. But that's easy to overlook. Then Apple announces a new product, right? And everyone's – and in this case, specifically the watch, right? And everyone says, oh, this product – you know, the naysayers, and there's plenty of them, say this product is going to fail – you know, nobody's going to buy it. And yet they know that Apple has this core, this growing, massively growing core of fans that are just going to buy it because Apple tells us to buy it, right? But again, that's not unfounded, but I see why from the outside it might be easy to say that it seems unfounded. And, you know, the thing is, all the things that I say about Apple products are things that people say about watches in general, right? You know, I like the way it looks. I like the way it makes me feel when I wear it. It gives me some self-identity. You know, all of that stuff can be said about watches. And the thing is, you know, people can spend, for the same functionality, people can spend anywhere from, I put this in my article, and these numbers are somewhat arbitrary, but, you know, you could spend from 10 up to $1 million or more than $1 million. I mean, there are some watches that sell for more than $1 million on a watch, and get the same functionality out of both. It will tell you the time and maybe the date, right? And then, of course, you can get lots more features, but that $1 million watch ain't going to have all those extra features in most cases. It's just going to be made from fancy materials and by a brand that matters, and they're going to be limited production runs of usually one. And so it's, you know, a collector's item, right? Mm-hmm. And so why is it that these naysayers come out and say, oh, the watch is too expensive and no one's going to buy it, when out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying, oh, the iPhone's too expensive and look at all the idiots that buy that thing. They should just buy an Android phone for a lot less. It has all the exact same features. So that's kind of what gets me going. And, you know, the thing is, and as I was putting the article together, I came out with this, and, you know, these people are saying Apple has no business making a watch. To me, you know, Apple is, I mean, the thing that rings the most true about their brand and has since day one of that company is that they are probably the world's most recognizable personal technology brand, right? And perhaps that's the best way to describe what Apple is as a company, right? They're a personal technology company. That's what they've always done well at making. Sure, they tried their hand at the enterprise and, you know, retracted from that eventually when that made sense. They've really always made personal devices. And as time marches forward, those devices are able to get smaller and smaller, right? I mean, we started with desktop computers, and they still make desktops, of course. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't make a watch back when Apple started, because technology couldn't get small enough to do the right things to do on a watch, right? So you started with desktop machines, and they got small, and then laptops and phones, obviously, and all of that stuff. But, you know, even everything they've made, the Newton, right, all of that stuff, it's all personal technology, things that are built to be used by one person. And so a watch makes perfect sense for – in fact, I can't think of a better thing. Well, I could maybe think of one. A car, right? Sure. Seriously, right? You know,
you're spot on, Dave.
I think so, right? The watch makes sense, but absolutely, you know, something you wear, yes. Something you drive, yes. They're both very personal experiences, and no one has proven that they are better than Apple at delivering that personal experience. And that, frankly, is what we pay extra for. Sure. And add to that the fact that the watch brings a fashion element in, which isn't new for Apple, right? I mean, Apple has always had a fashion element, and we pay more for that fashion element too.
It's like your iPhone case. It has to have that aperture in the back so you can show the world the Apple.
Right. But even the iPhone itself remember when Dell was shipped? I mean, they still, you know, there's still this happening, but Dell was shipping out laptops for half the price of what you could get an Apple laptop for, and they were like boat anchors. They were reliable, don't get me wrong, but they were boat anchors compared to, you know, the PowerBooks.
Yeah, they were simply functional.
They were – right. It was function over form all day long, and Apple has always kind of had that fashion element, although, you know, the watch is the first – brazen show of heading into the fashion realm. But again, it's not we're going to be a fashion company. It's we're going to be the same company we've always been, and we're delivering technology with fashion. But because you're going to wear it, this is a pretty personal device. It kills me that the naysayers, and this is what people do, it's fine. But, you know, I just figured I wanted to shine a light on the fact that these people that are saying the watch isn't going to succeed because no one's going to buy it are the same ones that make fun of us for buying things based that you could get a lot cheaper if you just simply didn't buy into the Apple world.
Well, Dave, I think I can explain the naysayers.
Oh, do tell.
You want to hear my theory?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the proliferation of the internet and bloggers, there are lots of people who are just surface Apple fans. They like being involved in the glitz, the social factors, and being part of the Apple popularity. And they write. But there's another, and they're fanboys. And there's another set of people, all the people who are plugged into the community, people who are serious internet writers, people from, you know, us, TMO and Macworld and all the other well-established websites like iMore, and you got Renee Ritchie and Peter Cohen and all these people who know what they're doing. They're deeply connected. They attend Apple events. They perhaps have Apple acquaintances. They're plugged into the developer community. They understand Apple, just like you, Dave, and me, who's been around since Apple II days.
Yep.
And those people write deeply and knowledgeably about Apple. But when you see them being enthusiastic about the Apple Watch, born from a deep understanding, as you just described, about personal electronics, outsiders who read the articles confuse that deep understanding that creates enthusiasm with fanboyism. And so in order to separate yourself from the apparent shallowness of fanboy, you need to appear to be critical and independent thinker. And so you must cast aspersions upon the popular trend in order to make yourself look distinguished amidst a sea of enthusiasm.
Yeah. That's my theory. Sometimes that's – no, you're right. I mean, some of these naysayers just do it for the attention too. But you're right. I do sometimes, and perhaps more often than I should, find myself saying, okay, where's the problem here, right? And I mean, I wrote an article earlier this week about where's the problem with the Apple Watch. You know, how long will this thing last? And that was certainly a negative light. Now, it's something I agree with. It was born of me digging in and saying, okay, which one do I want to get? And then kind of stopping myself and saying, well, if I know darn well I'm going to replace this thing in a year, and I don't know that for certain because we don't know Apple's release schedule, but if Apple releases another one in a year, I will buy another one in a year, right? You know, and it will replace the one that I have. But that's just a function of what I do. There are some fans that will simply do that even though they're not writing about it, right, or podcasting about it. But and as soon as I thought about that, I was like, well, I'm just going to get the cheap one. The functionality is exactly the same. It's just a fashion choice at that point. So that's it. But it's interesting. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. We find ourselves, you know, sometimes perhaps looking too far for the flaw in the plan just to show that we are able to do so.
In this Biggs dictum, Apple makes products that people want to buy. Other companies make products that they try to get people to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good business to be in.
Yeah, that's a really good gig if you can get it.
Right. That if is a, you know, the crux of it all.
Yeah, and Apple has totally figured that one out.
They didn't luck into it.
No, they worked to get where they are.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I mentioned earlier we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Harry's. At harrys.com, and they make really great razors at a really great price. I love the fact that that you can get really high quality disposable blades from them without having to spend the kind of money that that you spend in a grocery store or drugstore to pick up your blades. As a matter of fact, years ago I stopped using disposable blade systems because they were so outrageously expensive and switched over to a safety razor so that I could save money. And it turns out I got a much better shave in the process. And now here's Harry's. They've come along. And this is the only company I found that makes a replaceable cartridge system that I think is worth paying for. And it gives me as good a shave as I get with my safety razor. And the price is absolutely fantastic. You can get a starter kit. The Truman is the one that I picked up, $15, and it gets you a really nice handle. It gets you three really good blades, your choice of shaving cream or shaving lotion, and a little carrying cover piece that fits over the cartridge end for when you're traveling so you don't end up like accidentally cutting yourself when you go to grab your razor out of your toiletry kit. So $15 for this kit, which is just amazing. And then you can get replacement blades for ridiculously cheap. And this all happens because Harry's owns everything they need to make the quality blades, and they really are great. So even better, you can get all this stuff sent to you, no shipping charges. And since you listen to our show, you can use the discount code TDO, which stands for TMO Daily Observations, TDO. Get $5 off your first order, so you can pick up that Truman kit that's normally $15, $10 delivered to your door. When you need more supplies, you can just order them, or you can sign up for a subscription thing where they get sent out on a regular interval for you, so you don't even have to think about that. So really fantastic product, really great price, and if I'm excited about something like this, well, that's saying quite a lot because I'm pretty particular about my shaves. So thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $5 off your first order and get yourself a beautiful shave that's just like mine.
Just like yours. You are the most particular person. Folks, he says that, and that's true. I don't know anyone else that, at least prior to the Harry's thing, would only shave with a straight razor. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made it difficult when I would travel because I'd have to go pick up crappy disposables to travel.
Yeah, you can't bring that through security.
Nope. You sure can't. Yeah, they give you that whole Sweeney Todd look.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, totally awesome product. I'm really, really excited about how great it is. And there you go. So TDO, get yourself $5 off and get an awesome shave. So, John, you wrote a piece yesterday that I thought was pretty interesting, where you started looking into some of the numbers for Apple Car.
Right. Remember in the old days when Macs had a really small market share and Microsoft enthusiasts and other business enthusiasts were saying Apple can't survive, its market share is too small. And then the standard response was, look at BMW. They have a really small market share. They're doing just fine. Macintoshes are the BMW of the world. So now that Apple appears to be thinking about building an electric car and could well be in competition with BMW, everybody's going, oh, Apple can't make any money. Well, some of these smaller car companies compared to the big guys like Ford and General Motors are making money. So I ran across a couple articles that looked into the numbers, and Yanni Heisler at BGR wrote a very good article about the finances of the car industry and noted that BMW makes about $4,400 a car. And they only sell about 1.3 million cars a year out of the 80 million cars globally, and yet they're doing quite well. One can conceive of the idea that Apple, based on its experience with manufacturing and battery technology and integration of hardware and software, could very well hire the additional expertise they need for safety and suspension and the other ergonomics and safety and design features of a car in order to make a car that could appeal to people and make money. So that was one part of the article. I haven't seen too many people questioning that Apple could make money with its investment. Why would they do it, however, mystifies a lot of people. Tim Cook was talking to the Street yesterday, and he was talking about how the vision for the future is cars, the home, and health. And as Dave said, personal electronics is certainly going to extend and is already extending to our cars. But the iPhone and the iPad, which are Apple's moneymakers right now, may not always continue to exist in their current form. Every manifestation of technology changes. Think audio cassettes, think even iPods. Things change in their physical manifestation. It could be someday the entire iPhone will be folded into a fourth generation iWatch, and we won't have to carry around this thing anymore where we stare at it and hold it in our hand. So Apple has to look forward to the day when some of their technologies may fade away like they have with the iPod and subsumed by other technologies and things that we do.
Well,
the next big thing.
Apple's not afraid to leave things behind.
Sure, sure. So one of the questions I haven't seen discussed, which I discussed in my article, is where does Apple see its product line going over time, making some predictions about the changing structure of their product line, just as the iPod kind of faded? And what can Apple contribute to the industry for cars, in addition to, you know, making handsome profit? And I think a lot of people are perhaps losing a little bit of trust in their cars. And we know Apple's very big on security. They're big on trust. They're good on being a trustworthy company that build products that we admire and we have confidence in. For example, you know, current cars now have GPS. They track our whereabouts. They track our speeds. That goes into the data file. If there's an accident, there can be a subpoena. Nobody knows who owns that data. Modern cars with digital interfaces and touchscreens force you to have eyeballs inside a lot. And when that's a user interface that needs solved. I saw Jeremy Clarkson reviewing a car the other night on Top Gear where he was having trouble touching the touchscreen because the car was vibrating a little bit and he couldn't get his finger on the right virtual button. So that's part of the problem that Apple could certainly solve. And then there's the ongoing battle between the good guys and the bad guys trying to hack into your car, not only just unlock it through Bluetooth, but, you know, completely seize control of the operating system. So if you think about Apple's expertise in ergonomics, in security, in safety, in transportation, being good stewards of the planet, building quality user interfaces, it's very reasonable that Apple would get into the electric car business. And then the next factor is when we move into autonomous cars, that software, you're talking about millions of lines of code. You're talking about, you know, like jet fighter level sophistication of code, you know, where the car has to make a decision. You're in the backseat playing cards, and the car has to decide whether after when it applies the brakes, when some kid jumps out on the street on a bicycle, is it going to plow into the kid or is it going to plow into the car with some woman in the car, or is it going to, you know, do something else dramatic and make a decision for you? So that kind of autonomous car has to be very trustworthy too. Who else can we trust to build a car like that except Apple? And I'm thinking the Apple executives would like to take a shot at earning our trust for an autonomous electric car that's efficient, works well with us, and can drive us safely and comfortably from place to place. That's my theory.
I know we need to wrap up, Jeff, but I wanted to... I think I'm totally with you, John. What you just said is it is what Apple does. You, in echoing my thoughts, changed one word several times, which I think is a good is an important distinction. And what you've said is that Apple is a personal electronics company, and what I said was that Apple is a personal technology company. And I think that distinction is important because Apple is more than an electronics company.
Oh, I agree.
Right?
My bad.
That's okay. No, but it's right. I mean, it's an interesting slip, but it is important because there's a lot of things that are technology. I mean, software is not electronics. Certainly, it relies on electronics. Although perhaps someday it doesn't have.
You're exactly right.
You know, but a wristwatch, a mechanical wristwatch is personal technology. Now, Apple's not building a mechanical wristwatch, but it is, you know, there's more to it than just the electronics. And I just wanted to make that point.
Spot on. That was a slip of my tongue.
That's okay. It happened a couple times. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it could be a slip of the tongue in the sense that there are some people who don't understand that distinction. And if you don't understand the distinction between personal electronics and personal technology, you'll think that Apple's doing something out of its league when they're not.
That's right.
Good point.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. I think that point is a great place for us to wrap up today and this week. So, John, thank you so much for showing up today.
Hey, this was great. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Fun stuff.
It was fun. I really enjoyed the insight both of you guys brought today. Also, thank you to Harry's at harrys.com for being our sponsor all week long. Head on over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and get $5 off your first order. Delivered to your door, no shipping costs, which is totally awesome. And also, if you don't already have plans for around Memorial Day, you should totally hang out with me. I'm going to be in New Orleans for the ACES conference on May 20th and 21st. I get back to Denver, and then just a day later, May 23rd through 25th, I'm going to be at Denver Comic Con, and I'll be doing some of the big stage interviews with celebrities. So you should totally come to both and hang out with me. I would love to see you. So Dave and John, thank you again for being here today. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining us all week. We'll see everyone again on Monday.